If you're joining us live, welcome to Grow. If you're listening later, welcome to you as well. I'm sitting here with Luke, and this is our ongoing year-long conversation called We Are Kwantlen. So we're going to spend the next hour or so together, and Luke has generously agreed to join us again tonight. This is our third in a seven-part conversation as we investigate and learn and hear about Kwantlen culture and stories from Luke's sage perspective. Mm-hmm. And we've been really enjoying these conversations. I know that many in our community have been participating and listening, both live, but also later, and mm-hmm. also through the podcast and things like that. So thank you for being here, Luke. And just before we hand over to Luke to begin to share, a couple of housekeeping details. This is aimed at being a somewhat interactive experience. So if you have questions, we're going to make sure that we have space towards the end of our time together to ask questions. The way that you can do that, if you're listening live, watching live, of course, is to simply type in the comment section on the right side of your screen, and we will get those comments, and they will come to my phone, and I will ask those questions when that time comes. So please ask your question at any point, type it right in, and I'll keep track of those, and we can come back to those once Luke's finished sharing, and we can ask them.
Yeah, don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Anything, any question goes.
No, any question goes. We're going to learn to interrupt some language so you can ask those questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interrupt that language.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. So, Luke, just maybe for those of us who are maybe new even this week, can you tell us maybe a little bit about yourself, mm-hmm. and then tell us what traditional law that we're going to be exploring tonight?
Sounds good. Yes, so my name is Luke Dandaran, but my ancestral name is Wainuk, which means the man of sound because of my extensive background in music. And it's a name that was earned and was gifted to me by the elders of Kwantlen First Nation and my hereditary chief, Stakwasan, Chief Marilyn Gabriel. So Kwantlen is down the road, across the bridge, and on a small island here in Fort Langley, right beside the living waters of the streamline of the Fraser River. Mm-hmm. I'm the man of sound because of my extensive background in music, but looking at all the music set up here, I don't know how to read or write music. I don't know how to play music, but yet I'm the man of sound. And also, I work for the Langley School District, been doing that for 13 years. Mm-hmm. And I teach culture. I work for an enrichment optional Aboriginal program that was started by our family, Kwantlen, mm-hmm. back in 94. And it's like an enrichment optional program for families who identify as being First Nations, Métis, or Inuit. I live on the reserve, but the majority of students I work with are what we would refer to as urban natives, or natives or people who identify as being Aboriginal but have no clue where they're from. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And we have to look at several reasons, a variety of reasons why that answer is very common, a very common answer. And a lot of it has to do with their families being displaced, their families being ashamed of being native. We're trying to hide being native. They didn't have the luxury of sharing their pride or passion, or even practicing their culture. Being a member of Kwantlen, we're here to try to, just like Living Waters, set a good example. And we do stay literally in our own bubble now, but indigenous people who live on reserves will always say you claim your status and prestige by saying where you're from and what your name is. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a very simple teaching, but it's, a lot of people don't have that luxury. And so saying that I am Wainuk from Kwantlen First Nation brings a lot of power and status just by saying that. It also recognizes my survival and my mother's survival and our ancestors' traditions and ways of surviving, of not being numbered, or overcoming many different things. Like when we use our name and say where we're from, where we overcome, you know, like hundreds of years of corporations trying to take over. Mm-hmm. Like every time I leave my front yard, I can see the original Hudson Bay. Mm-hmm. That's a daily reminder, right? I know you just posted about a poem about graffiti. And from our perspective, when we see, when we stop at that train, a lot more cars stop at those trains now, you know, those new lights. What do you think about that? Is that confusing?
A little bit.
It's a little bit. I know, I think they have to get the left signal and the straight signal, because I'm just trying to go straight. I'm trying to get on the other side of the island, but there's always people blocking me. So we look at that, the truth and reconciliation. The truth and reconciliation would refer to that area as a train of tears. Because that's where the Catesy children and the Kwantlen children would go every September 30th for residential school, which we now know as Orange Shirt Day. And that was the day that the children were taken away to be a part of that. But, you know, that was... And this week's teachings will be about humbleness. Humbleness is one of our, it's a teaching, a law is a teaching that's always been there, but sometimes we forget about it. And the teaching in humbleness is that we struggle with it every single day, including myself. And when we, if you have the luxury of sitting down with an elder, and they will tell you to sit down, be humble. And then they'll further break it down. If you talk with them even more, they'll say, don't be so stuck up. So I think, you know, when we do these talks, we plan them. We don't plan them out as far as we should. We just kind of go with the flow with it, which is what I like. And when Ruben messaged me and said, what do you want to, which one should we do? I said, let's do humbleness. I didn't know that yesterday was going to be Pink Shirt Day.
Yeah.
Right? It was Pink Shirt Day. And that's come a long way. And that started in 2007. And it was in Nova Scotia, at a school where a boy wore his pink shirt and, you know, he was mocked and bullied and humiliated for that, for trying to show his pride and passion for that color. But then his two friends came by the next day and wore pink shirts in solidarity with him. But just two friends. That's how it started. That was the very first Pink Shirt Day. In 2007, and now it's a global movement, right? So you gotta think about how humbling that is about your two friends who you never ever forget. That just, and they didn't plan to do that, right? Even with Orange Shirt Day, Orange Shirt Day is I've done work with that with Phyllis Jack Webster, who's the founder of Orange Shirt Day. I've done work with her several times in Victoria and Vancouver, and she's even come to our school to speak at Yorkson Creek, which was, and she loves BUM so much. So we're always happy to see her. But yeah, she spoke about how, yeah, in her moment, it was just like a, during TRC, Truth and Reconciliation. Truth and Reconciliation was a great moment for Indigenous people and Canadian history. It was an opportunity for us to get our story out there so that people could really listen, and that it became a part of Canadian history, right? Very dark part. So when she spoke at a Truth and Reconciliation event in Williams Lake, BC, and asked her, Phyllis, what's the thing that you remember the most? So that the, what I remember the most is what they, when I went to the school, the nuns took the orange shirt away from me. And that's what I remember the most. And when I explained this to the students I work with, I said, moments like that, when you when it becomes viral, you don't plan it to be. You're just sharing the truth. Or so now she's a part of this whole movement that's spread across Canada. It's starting to spread across. The first one started in 2013. I remember I got a phone call from a school trustee, and she said, there's this new movement called Orange Shirt Day. I think you would be the one that could pull it off quickly, too. It was like, I had like 2 weeks' notice. So I talked to the principal at a school. Yeah, 2013, this is when still, you know, TRC is still going on, you know, and it was rough, very rough, because it was supposed to be over, and, it was supposed to be coming to an end, but they said, listen, we found some really terrible news. We're hearing about all the children who have died or have been murdered, and all the genocide, and all the deaths that are happening, and we need to continue recording more stories. So it went on for another 2 years. So it was supposed to be five, it ended up being seven. And so I went there, and it was tough to speak about this because it's always in the news. And yeah, and it's affecting our families too, and the families I work with. and I went there, and I told the principal, and it's tough to talk about residential schools. Especially when I was in elementary, so I said, all right, I'll bring some students of mine, and we'll just go drum and sing. We'll give out a notice about you can wear orange on this day. And the response was great. And we just went around in intermediate classes, four to six drumming and singing. We sang a few songs, and a lot of people were wearing orange. That was the very first Orange Shirt Day. It was at my school. In 2013, Alex Hope Elementary, never forget that. And that was at the Hunkaminum, first time I ever spoke Hunkaminum on the intercom was at Alex Hope Elementary. You could hear like the silence throughout the school when I was at OCM, can I have your attention please? And it was absolute silence. And you could feel like the, like a moment of healing. And then after teachers come up and the kids were crying, staff were crying. And that was a real humbling experience, right? I want to look at from tears of sadness or tears of shame, of tears of fear, to tears of gratitude, and tears of healing. Because we need both sides of the bridge, we need to heal. That's what I'm here to speak about. It's how we both need to heal on both sides. And we can do this together. but we got to use the right language. Right? And I looked, and the
Phyllis, she spoke at the school and she talked about how she doesn't even like orange. And she's like, I kind of like these Yorks and Creek colors. I like turquoise. She pulled out a pair of all these turquoise, and I was like, yeah, that looks good. But here she is, part of an Orange Shirt Day movement.
Yeah.
And she will forever be attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to be attached to it.
Mm.
I remember, so I told her about that, and we would always chat. She's very accessible on social media. So, I remember how she would just, her doing a video. I said, can you do a video for the kids at Alex Hope? 1 year, and then she would message me a day before and say, I couldn't do it, wasn't ready. And then she said, all right, well, maybe next year. That's okay, I understand. And so she's like, oh, yeah, you can just do it through your iPhone. Get your grandson to do it. He'll know what to do. Then she had, like, there was a man who recorded the video and did it professionally and did it editing and all this stuff. So he gave it to her for free. And that's the same one that you see on YouTube.
Mm.
It was the one I asked her to do.
Mm.
But I just wanted the one on the iPhone. But the one, if you look it up, the one that she uses, yeah. That's the one that's kind of gone globally now.
Yeah.
About Orange Shirt Day. And she only went to residential school for 1 year, right? And she kind of feels bad about that. Because when she hears mom's story, my mom went, for 9 years. And when you hear the stories of Truth or Reconciliation, you hear other some horrific stories. So she told me, I feel bad about this, that now I'm a part of this movement. Mm. I tried to avoid it, because she used to just work in a gas station in Williams Lake, So it's interesting how these movements start. But it's also interesting how people don't want to be a part of it too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know I would hear at work, some people say, oh yeah, just staff talking in the hallway, you didn't get the memo about pink shirt? It's like, oh no, and then this person's like upset that they're not wearing a pink shirt, right? Oh, I don't know. They always say like, I don't know if it's pink shirt day, orange shirt day, or green shirt day, and they walk away. And I'm like, wow. That is pretty rough. And they're using the wrong language to express how they feel. But I know they're good people, right? I know I did this workshop called The Perfect Stranger. And it really nails the head on a lot of social interactions that we're a part of. But it spoke about, it was from this indigenous scholar. She's a doctor, she's native. And she talked about how she created this word called the perfect stranger. And how people are using the wrong language to express how they feel. And it's something I've been a part of my entire school career, and so has my mom. And just being native, or anyone from a targeted community, right? Or whatever career you may have. And people always had a sense of urgency to tell us how they felt. Just like that, how that person had to tell us that they didn't know what day it was. Green shirt day, pink shirt day, or orange shirt day? Which day is it? What was that sense of urgency for you to be so rude to us about that? And why did you need to express us into that way? It's the same way how we feel about being native. People would always come up to us and have this sense of urgency to tell us what they don't know about. I didn't know that this happened. I didn't know that this is Kwantlen. I don't know what land I'm on, right? I didn't know this about residential schools. Always seems to be a lot of excuses, like a sense of urgency to tell me or to. And the doctor wanted to look at the language. What language can we use to interrupt those remarks and create an opening for us to welcome the true stories? Aboriginal education, right? The true feelings and reflections of what it is to be a Native person. And we do use the wrong language in many areas, right? Right? And we could use simpler language that includes more. That's what I would always talk about, right? And use, our teachings are simple, like humbleness, generations, talked about health, right? It's not, you know, heavy reading, but it's simple. And when we keep it simple, that's when it becomes profound. So I want to look at the perfect stranger and how we can develop a relationship on both sides of the bridge so that we can heal together and that we don't have to use these offensive remarks, right? And you can just celebrate and honor. You don't have to make snide remarks. Because the kids are listening. They hear that. That's the beautiful part about just trying to survive. You know, and that's why I'm looking at music. I'm looking at music as a way to help. That's why if we were doing this live, and there was a, I would say, all right, no, I need a band to open up for me. And then I'll tell Victoria, one more. Tell Victoria, no, all right, no, two more. Not ready yet. I'm nervous. I need to hear two more songs. That would be amazing. So,
one day.
Yeah, it's gonna be tears of gratitude.
It's gonna be a good day. Yeah.
Tears of gratitude and tears of healing. Think about that. We will be so thankful. Yeah, we have to bring in professional mourners. You got to bring a paper bag in, put the Kleenex in.
Yeah.
Burn it. Pandemic tears.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I want to bring us the same way that I speak and tell a story, the same way that how I play my music. Right? So I work for a school district. I teach culture. And I teach a balance and focus of simple teachings for the children and for the staff. But yet I'm not a teacher. Right? You know, I don't know how to play music. I don't know how to read music. I don't know how to write music. But I'm the man of sound. And I'll never lose that name. That was given to me. And I know how to tell a story through music. So what, the same way I want us to kind of interrupt those moments and travel to a place where we can be in the zone, just like in music. Be in the zone for friendship and being with a partner and using simple ways of bringing ourselves to like a different vortex of happiness and healing and gratitude and finding out what our gifts are. It's like that movie Soul. You see that movie yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, that is something special. Not only is it Disney and Pixar know what they're doing, they're brilliant, but it's the first movie ever that was all created by black people. The music, the directing, the writing, such passion. And yeah, it just talks about how people need to find their gifts and how this middle school music teacher passed away. But he passed away so quickly, he didn't want to go to heaven. He had the opportunity to help someone else find out what their gifts are. And once they get all those gifts and all those badges, they finally get their soul. Hmm. But here he is playing soulful jazz music that brings you to an area of being in the zone. And he taught this one person who, and it goes, this person was not able to get their soul for thousands and thousands of years. Mm. It talks about all the great people that this person has been introduced to, like Gandhi and Mother Teresa. And they can't, they're so tired of this person that even Gandhi or Mother Teresa can't help her. Mm. But here it is about how simple that man, the music school teacher, gave this person their soul. Mm. And how he would use music as a way to welcome them and bring them to a different vortex. And it shows them bring them to a different vortex of being in the zone and how that person finally got the soul. Mm. And the person finally made it to Earth to be there. Mm. And so it's like a person finally learning how to walk for the first time, mm-hmm. learning how to eat, learning how to be a person, learning how to stand up. And here I am, this is like when my mother's struggling to walk with her, mm-hmm. her hip replacement, right? And the dark, dark, dark toll it took on Mom and I. And especially during COVID, you know, during COVID, you go to some dark places, mm-hmm. but you try to find that balance of wanting to be seen. And so the person who finally has their soul says, maybe my gift is just learning how to walk. Mm. Wow. There I am thinking about Mom mm. learning how to walk again and how stronger she is with getting that. Mm-hmm. And that's where we need to be with humbleness and creating that relationship of healing. And how we can come back from that vortex and just be kind, calm, and caring. Hmm. That's what I do with my music too. Hmm. Through all my record collection. I think I'm getting close to 3,200.
Wow.
3,200, and the way I can go through and tell a story and curate it. I'm there to archive music. I'm there to bring back people's stories that were broken. I'm there to share an incredible moment. I've been playing a lot of Thom Yorke. Because mm-hmm. I like obscure, weird, eccentric, atmospheric. Mm-hmm. Brings you to a different place. Thom Yorke's from
Radiohead.
Of course, thank you. I know you love Radiohead.
Sorry, Radiohead.
Because when I was first coming here, you quoted Radiohead. Huh? This guy quoted Radiohead? All right, you got my attention now. You got my attention. I see what you're doing here.
Did I do that? Did I do that in a sermon?
You did.
Oh, okay.
You always say that every single time. Did I do that in a sermon? Yes, you did. I said, this guy talking about Radiohead? Hmm. You got my attention. I'll listen. I'll put down my coffee cup. So that's where we need to go. Hmm. We need to interrupt that rude language and bring it to an area where we can share our gifts. Hmm. And I look at it as a way as putting a record, the needle on the record. That's an incredible ritual. It's a humbling ritual. It never gets old. Bump, bump. That sound, I love it. Mm. I love that sound, that bump. And I was with two children earlier this week, and we had lunch together. I brought them on to my mentorship group. It was a brother and a sister. And they've gone through a very difficult time. Face a lot of abuse at a very young age. Mm. And I remember when I started reading Richard Wagamese quotes, passages on the Yorkson Creek intercom. Mm-hmm. And it was the very first, and the first one I talked about was the language of the fisherman. Mm. Look, I'm talking about language again. Mm. He was so proud and honored of his first foster father at the age of 6, and how he was humbled, by him bringing them to the water. Mm. Like I said, a place of healing, a place of reconnecting. So that's where our songs come from. The songs come from the water. Mm-hmm. That's healing, that's baptism, that's all that, right? That's drumming and singing. And he couldn't believe how just going fishing with his foster dad, because his dad knew that he needed to reconnect to the land. Mm. He needed to feel what it's like to be an Ojibwe boy / man. And that the land and the calmness of the water would help him reconnect during his very difficult times. Of not being able to spend time with his family and also feeling the effects of what it's like of suffering the effects of residential schools. Mm. But his foster father passed away 3 years later, and he just went back to the land and back to the water. And it wasn't tears of sadness, it was tears of gratitude. Tears of happiness of him acknowledging him as an Ojibwe person. And that's how, and once I said that, about how that's his hero, there was that young boy literally waiting in the hallway when I left the office. He was there, like he was waiting for me, and he was standing very proud, as tall as he could be. And he said, "Luke, it was my foster mom's birthday on the weekend, and we had cake." I'm like, wow. He made that connection already, being a native person. Mm. I know his foster mom. And how proud he was to have cake with her. Mm. And how he could make that connection that he needed to be a part and acknowledge his native heritage. Mm. Then I know his sister, I mean, is younger, but her name is Lillian, just like my auntie. Mm. So we brought in, we had the old spaghetti factory. And just seeing these kids eat, putting that food on the table and the beautiness of it. Mm-hmm. It was very humbling. And looking at the student, and she reminds me of my great niece. And just like an older version of it. Mm. It was awesome. But I told him, I told him, listen, this is the type of bump you need in your life during difficult moments, very difficult moments. You'll remember this moment of having spaghetti with Luke and enjoying this experience. And I had a record, because I had a record table. I have a record table, turntable everywhere. So I had one on my desk. And I said, look, every time I put this record on the turntable, that's a bump. Sometimes you need that bump in your life just to get through. And that's what we're doing here. That's the beauty of music. And just experiencing that. I know I just listened to, one of the latest records I bought is a compilation of downtown Eastside musicians. Hmm. I got the sticker that says I love DTES, and I got that says, I have like a patch, like I love downtown Eastside. Mm-hmm. I just listened to one record before I came here, but wow, brought me to a place, brought me to that vortex. Hmm. Yeah, and they were talking about fentanyl. Mm-hmm. That was the name of the song. Like, I just want to be able, But sometimes when I listen to a record, I listen to it just all day. All day long. Never gets old. I wonder why I get a headache, because I've been listening to it for 8 hours. How much time do we have left, Reuben?
Eight minutes?
Okay, we better ask a question. For me? Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I just wanted to talk about, even with, like, just mentioning in the downtown east side about how people, like, just being, last time I spoke about the invisible patient, right? Mm-hmm. About how people want to be seen. Mm-hmm. But going down, I still remember going downtown to the downtown east side when we first created our boys' mentorship group. Mm-hmm. It was on Valentine's Day. And that's, being indigenous, we always want to look at how we can decolonize and destructure ourselves from certain, you know, things that we believe are holding us down. Mm. And the best way you can do that is going on Valentine's Day. So we brought some of our high school boys there, and it was rough. It was very rough. So it was during the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Walk. They do it every year. Mm. They've probably been doing that for 30 years now, in the downtown east side, on Valentine's Day. So it was like 30 years this year. And going down there with those boys, some of them, you know, they share stories about their family. I know even one boy who was my student, he talked about how he saw his mother on the street. I said, "Is that your foster mom?" "No, it's my birth mom." And it was, you really don't know how to handle experiences like that, right? Or another boy, he would come up to me and he says, "Luke, this is where my grandfather died, right on this corner." And, you know, it breaks your heart. But I also think back to teaching from, like, when I first moved here, like 13 years ago, talking with our medicine man about how we're finally going to be seen. We've been standing on the corners for way too long. In places where we shouldn't be. But one day they're going to finally see us. And one day they're going to come to us asking questions. And we're going to have the answers for them. So that was a humbling experience, just standing on that corner of East Hastings and Maine. And then I'd start to ask myself, how many times has this happened? It's happened far too many times. But the fact that this boy told me that, you know, and the struggles and pains that he goes through, I said, "You know what, son? I see you now. I see you, and we got support here for you, and everywhere around here has support for you. You don't have to worry about that now. We see you, and we're here for you." And then, you know, there's tears being shared over there too. That's how I felt when I reconnected with that record, putting that record on. You know, we should have been by the fire, by the longhouse, instead of the fire that burns in their lungs with fentanyl in the alleys, right? Or the fire that they use, or the fire that men use to light cigarettes when they pick up Native women on the Highway of Tears. Or the fire that would burn at the trains, right? All that stuff. But how we're all here together now. We need to use the right language. We need to interrupt this rude language and learn to work on our humbleness. so we can enter that vortex of creating a new friendship, mm-hmm. of simple language, so that we can work together because we both deserve it. Mm-hmm. You deserve it, I deserve it. Mm-hmm. Everyone out there deserves it. Mm-hmm. And when they need to understand that every story contains value of great strength. Mm. Right? Even if you come from a place of abundance or you have very little. Mm. That's our teaching was that. Any questions?
Thanks, Luke. I can kick us off.
Yeah,
first of all, thank you again for sharing what you share. And I think what I appreciate about how you share, which I understand is part of oral tradition, is there's not a didactic reality to it in that here's the equation of humility or humbleness. I'm going to talk to you about humbleness through story. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that you come and you turn up and you share your story.
Yeah.
You share.
That's one thing that I'd like to do is through story. I want to hear experiences. I want to hear about your friends and family. I don't want to hear no definition.
Yeah. Theory is less interesting than actual reality and experience, right? So the fact that you continually do that and you're willing to open up and share that, I just want to say thank you for doing that and being committed to that.
Yeah,
not just, you know, long history, but recent history. This is what I did today, or this is what I did last week. That's beautiful. So thank you. I think the question I have about us doing this together, connected to humbleness or humility, is for the Judeo-Christian story, the Jesus story, humility is right in the middle of that. Humbleness is right in the middle of that. You have this story before Jesus goes to the cross, the night before he has a meal with his disciples, and John tells us that he washes their feet, and this great act of humility, and he says, now go and do this for one another. And the idea there is that this isn't just something he does to say be nice to each other, it's actually the thing that describes what he then does in dying on the cross. It's this act of service and humbleness, humility. Humility isn't being humiliated, it's holding your power loosely in the service of others, right? Mm-hmm. And when we turn up for each other and hold our power loosely to try and build something together, work together like we're doing here, that's, in a sense, defined as humility. So I think that in some senses, there's people from lots of traditions that would say, yeah, we're trying to hold to this virtue of humility, or we're trying to be humble. We would say that's definitely a part of what our tradition is, whether different religious traditions or cultural traditions. And yet we have a hard time doing it. Mm-hmm. We have a hard time actually doing it, right? We can say in theory, but how many stories do we have of us actually being willing to sit down and just be humble and just to listen? Why? Why is it so hard to be humble?
That's the teaching. It's an everyday struggle.
It's just get used to the fact it's going to be
hard. The only people who can follow all seven laws is not us. It's the elders.
The most mature amongst us
who've
learned long enough. Yeah.
And I find that, why aren't they using that right language to develop that relationship? Are they the perfect stranger to make up those comments of why they've made themselves into the perfect stranger of where they can't be humble? Now, what brought you there? I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of urgency of wanting to be humble.
Yeah.
But you should never undervalue the work or love or passion you bring to being who you are. And we always tend to forget that. We want to lecture. But we tend to forget that living by example and just being there is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Spending time with your children is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. You don't need the fancy trips. You know, just being a dad I've been getting a lot of children who have been very comfortable to express how they feel about how they're, how they can no longer be with their family. And why is that such the norm? So I try to teach them understanding of anger and sadness and fear, of what it's going to be okay, and that you're going to be able to understand and work on those relationships with your family. Mm. Like, why did my dad leave? Mm. Is he coming back? Mm. Or why are they sick? Mm-hmm. Like, sick mentally. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Who makes those decisions? Mm. And do I agree with them? Mm-hmm. So it's, we always strive. Some of us strive for a lot of, we strive too much. We put too much on our plate. Mm. But then we tend to tell stories and not even know we're telling stories. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That's friendship. Mm-hmm. So they say, oh, I want to be a part of this experience, that movement and that movement, right? Mm-hmm. But yet you just told me that whole story about your friend before.
Yeah.
That's like a humbling experience. Mm. Of friendship, of sharing your story. And that's where people kind of get confused in that, thinking that they need to explain a definition, right? Mm-hmm. A definition of what's racism.
Yeah.
And people who explain it probably never experienced it.
Right.
Right? Or their families never experienced it. Mm. Or they could get away with it, mm. Right?
Yeah.
And social media doesn't help either. Because, you know, that's where we believe that our opinion contains value, mm. Right? Social media believes it gives people the value to state their opinion. Which really doesn't, I'm sorry. That's a real humbling movement right there, right?
Yeah.
Like if no one's asking you to come and speak, or no, if someone giving you money to come and speak, mm. There's a, that kind of brings validity there. Or if like CBC is gonna tell you to write this article and give you a lot of money, mm. People want to hear your opinion.
Right.
But you sharing a meme with a username? Come on now. Or are you going to share this opinion in a staff room, mm. or in the hallway, mm. for children to hear? Mm. That's where the struggle always begins. They're using that language where it's, mm. it's interrupting the, yeah. process of healing and friendship. Mm. Like people say, COVID's just a flu. Mm. Mm. I saw these people, I was on Glover Road, mm. and there was these two people containing, like, they had like propaganda signs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mm. about the virus. The force vaccine. Mm. The force vaccine. Mm. And I was like, oh, those poor things. And it was cold out. I was like, yeah, you have to go to that point where no one will believe you, where you got to put these signs out there for people.
Right.
To see, I was like, that's pretty hardcore. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, I'll try and be supportive and understand them. And I was like, good for them. I was like, maybe one day someone will listen to you. Because it took 65 years for someone to listen to my mom's story. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Takes a lot. And I think about other like churches or universities and us rebuilding, mm-hmm. that relationship. Mm-hmm. How we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Through humbling experiences.
Yeah.
And I had that talk with a friend. She writes for CBC. Mm-hmm. She's like, people on social media, I'm sorry, but their opinion doesn't contain nothing. Mm. Put a silly meme. That's where those algorithms work so perfectly. Mm. Right? I'll just stick to my music algorithms. Mm-hmm. That's how, so, yeah, never undervalue the work that you bring.
Yeah. On the same side, I just want to pick up on themes of listening, mm-hmm. and humbleness. It seems to me the people that I would say, from my experience, are the most humble people that I know are very good listeners.
Yes.
It's just something that I hope to continue to cultivate in my own life. And many times if I have a day where I feel like I haven't modeled or exemplified humility, it's because I've been a poor listener. I've been too interested in sharing what I have to say versus listening.
Yeah. But you know what the difference, people who are good listeners, those are the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They're the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same way how I feel about my music.
Mm.
Or the same way that someone listens to a story hundreds of times about residential schools.
Mm.
Same way how I feel about listening to a record about the downtown East Side for 8 hours in a row.
Mm.
Never gets old.
Mm.
I told you about that story about that lady who made a button blanket dress. Every time she heard a residential school, she sewed a button on 133 buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose of this, too, I want to be in an area where I want to be surprised. Mm. Why am I here? And I never expected to get there. That's how I felt 13 years ago working for the school district. Mm. That's how I feel here.
Mm.
That's how I want to experience that again this year.
Because
we deserve it.
Mm.
You need to bring yourself to a place you never thought you would be,
mm.
like a different vortex.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Eye-opening.
Hmm. How do you help yourself? This might be a bit of a personal and pointed question, but connected to listening and being humble, how do you find ways to remind yourself to listen and be humble when you're tempted to not be? Because it's got to be hard.
Oh, just like interacting with people or listening to music?
With people, interacting with people. When you have that, when you feel like you want to speak, but how do you remind yourself to listen first?
I do enjoy a fierce conversation. Because people, like I said, and that workshop really helped me about that sense of urgency of people wanting to address how they feel.
Mm.
And they're saying this to me because no one else really will listen.
Mm.
As ridiculous as whatever they want to say.
Mm.
The sense of urgency. And why would they be telling that to me? So I just say, thank you. You know, it felt like you really had a sense of urgency of wanting to tell me this, so I do appreciate it.
Mm.
Then I try to bring some other like cultural teachings too about perfect stranger with all that.
Mm.
I love that thing. Mm. What language can we use to interrupt that of humbleness? Mm. We can't always be humble because we struggle every day.
Mm.
We're going to be angry and COVID doesn't help either. Woo! Well, being a dad, being a son, right?
Yeah.
We just got to look to activities that help us feel better.
Hmm.
You know, your poetry, I know you love your candles. Love your light. Bring that light.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that light.
That's what my name means.
It's true. what does Luke mean light?
Yeah.
That's great. I thought it meant man of sound.
It also means light.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, those lights you gave me came in very handy in a blackout.
Yeah, I was thinking.
Oh, yes. Put them right on side of the TV.
Yeah.
It was great. So, yeah. And usually, you know, I can talk to people in a way that kind of sounds like I'm condescending. Well, people know me, I'm not. I'm not. So, I do enjoy a fierce conversation. Because people like to challenge me, right. I find, right? You feel people like to try, you know, they can challenge you with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just, when you do the work for so long, you know the answers.
Mm.
I know the answers to culture.
Mm.
You know, like secret path, sacred path.
Mm.
Knowing where you're from, what your name is, you know. Status and prestige of where you're from.
Mm.
You know, ancestors, generations, health. This goes on, yeah. It's all I do. So when you keep doing it over and over and over again, that's all you live and experience. Feels good.
Yeah.
It's like that with music. Mm. But I always want to continue to learn. Mm. Right? I want to continue to learn. I want to be humbled by how little I know about music.
Yeah.
And how little I know about culture.
Yeah.
That's what I want to be humbled with. That's why when I listen to that record like that, yes, I need more. Because I don't have the best record out there. It's just an ever-going experience of wanting to relive it, that bump of finding that record. And yeah, I call it heavy hitters. I got some heavy heat on right now.
Yeah.
So that's when I'm streaming for my friends, and I'm like, oh, they all go, that's some heavy heat.
Yeah.
And sometimes I play it twice. Sometimes I play it three times. Mm-hmm. That's what New York City DJs do. Mm-hmm. That's how they would get their records out. Mm-hmm. They would play their record like three times a night. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, fun stuff.
Well, thank you again for sharing. And I think that I was looking forward to this conversation and just listening together, because I think there is something to what we're embodying, and an attempt at the struggle of being humble. Right?
Yes.
Trying to learn how to do that. And this longer journey that we're on is part of that as well, right? And
what I appreciate most about this experience is how we don't rush it. We can't rush it, because we're also very used to guidelines and checklists and deadlines. A lot of deadlines out there. A lot of people worried about money and rushing things. You can't rush this type of experience. You can't rush this type of healing.
Yeah.
That's what culture is.
Why would you want to rush building a friendship?
It's true.
This can go on forever.
It's true. It could. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing of being a part of and looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to it. It's going to be walking in those doors. I got to get a meal at the camp out, because once a day that this church opens up, I don't know how many sermons are we have to do that day. We're doing a 12-hour marathon. Yeah. I don't want you complaining.
It's true.
No complaints.
It's true.
About you being tired. I need to sit down, be humble, and don't be so stuck up. I want you to get up there and preach
for 12 hours
and lift our spirits.
Okay.
And not complain one second.
Sounds good.
You know how long we've been waiting for this.
Okay, fair enough.
More songs. Come on, more songs.
Maybe we'll need some DJ in the background to keep us going.
I would love to play some records for you guys. Maybe some Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah, who knows?
I got a Peter, Paul, and Mary record.
Yeah.
Did you see it? Did I show that to you, Ruben? Because I like records with cover background, like in the background of like an empty wall,
yeah,
like a brick wall.
Yeah,
I can put on like graffiti on there or something, just like practice graffiti.
Yeah,
it's just something I did during the summer to pass the time.
Yeah.
So there's a Peter, Paul, and Mary record, and they're behind a brick wall.
And some of your
graffiti. So I put Peter, Paul, and Mary, and then I put and Luke Native. And there's like a heart on the wall.
Yeah.
And then I put a heart, I put Res Life, I put like Kwantlen in graffiti, 564.
Now you're in the band.
And I'm in the band. Now and you're then in there. I came here and I told everyone, I think I told like Dave's wife, I was like, y'all hear of Peter, Paul, and Mary before? Everyone knew about them.
Yes, oh yeah.
And I was so upset, because I thought, Noah, like, who would ever know about Peter, Paul, and Mary? On this record.
Some of these people.
Shows you how much I know about music.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to the record at all, but
yeah,
I did put my and Luke Native.
There you go.
It looks just like the artwork itself, and I have all these fancy markers.
Yeah.
So, super fun.
It's a fun way to...
Maybe I'll play that record one. It's a great record.
Past the COVID time.
Yeah. Well, we're doing a 12-hour marathon, just to let you know.
I'll put it in my Twitch stream. Put it in my floating calendar. Well, we're going to wrap up. We haven't had any questions come in, but maybe that's because people are being humble and they're sitting down and listening.
Yes, we'll go with that.
But thanks again for joining us, Luke.
One little teardrop.
Oh, come now. We're all listening. And like I said, podcast later as well. And thanks for those of us who have been joining us live. We're going to wrap up, but we will be back again probably next month together.
Yes.
Speaking about another traditional law, and we'll maybe let it sit for a while and see what feels right next. Because it seems like every time we do this,
it works out so well.
It just seems to work out right. Like we didn't really plan on it, and then Pink Shirt Day was like it,
yeah, and then
that happened last time
too. Mental health day, remember mental health day?
Yeah, so we're on the right wavelength, whatever that is. So
we'll have to come up with something good.
Yeah.
We'll leave it up to Ruben.
Yeah, exactly. The genius of Ruben. Thanks again to Ruben for being behind the scenes tech-wise. And thanks for joining us tonight. Bless you. As my friend likes to say, stay positive, test negative.
That's a good one.
You like that one?
Yeah, I like that one.
And let's give the final word to you, Luke. Send us out as we close tonight.
All right. Yes. Be calm, be kind, be safe. Calmness is the toughest thing that we'll ever try to face. Mm. But if you find calmness, it's by the water, the living water. Mm. And that's where kindness will come. Mm. So if you can find calmness, you can find the rest of what it is to lead a successful day. Mm. And that's all I got to say about that.
It's a good word.
Indeed, calmness.
Calmness. Thanks, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.